Revo Convo in 3, 2, 1.
Tiny Revolution.
A medium-entry adventure of one family's goal to downsize, minimalize, prioritize, and proselytize the plight of the tiny house
in a sustainable world.
Good morning, my friends, my family, my co-tiny housers, my all of that. It is Thursday, December 6th, 2012. And depending on when you're listening to this, it may not even be that day. I just don't know. But we are live here in the studio of Tiny Revolution. And for any of you who follow me on Instagram or on Twitter or even Facebook or Google Plus, you've seen the picture of my quote-unquote studio. It's not much, but it's something. Know what I'm saying? So look, here we go. I want to first start out by saying something about our pledge drive for 2013. And what I want to say is, we hit our goal! Yeah! That's right, you heard me. Thank you to generous contributions that came in all over the past 2 weeks, and especially over this past weekend, we were able to hit our goal, so we will be not just online, but also on air for the year of 2013, which is super huge, exciting, because we enjoy bringing you tiny house information. Seems like you enjoy receiving it, and I think with the growth of the modern tiny house movement, we're going to have more and more and more to talk about, my friends. So thank you so much. Thank you very, 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 very much. It really... There's a lot of nice messages, too, which really were just awesome to read. And very sincerely, I thank you very much. I want to thank you for the generosity, the love, and the honesty that you gave me. Over the past 2 or 3 weeks on our podcast episodes, we have taken time out to thank one of the Tiny Revolution sponsors. I'm going to forego that segment of the broadcast today because instead of just saying a big hearty thank you to that sponsor, we're actually going to be having them join us on the interview segment of today's show. So I'm going to forego that segment, and instead, I'm going to move right on into something else. And do you know, sir, what that something else is? That something else is called
Around the Blogosphere.
Okay, so Tuesday or so, I was checking out the old Google feed to see just what was up in the tiny house world, and as is now becoming kind of normal, I guess, I was, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 days behind in all of the blog news, which is really funny because I'm always doting on, you know, how I keep up with this RSS feed, and I have all these things coming in, and blah, 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 and truth be told, I can't even keep up with it sometimes, but... anyway, so after a few minutes of just kind of scrolling through, you know, to see the pretty pictures and stuff, I stopped on a link to a custom tiny home builder. Now, for those of you who have talked to me at any length, you know I'm fascinated by these companies because what they're doing really is they're seeing a need, and more often than not, they're providing a service and a product that is top-notch. And I've had, you know, several discussions with people who live in tiny homes that were built by companies, and I've talked about the pros and cons and that sort of thing. And, you know, for folks that just don't feel confident building their home, I mean, after all, that's what we're talking about, the place you will reside, live in, sleep in, eat in, breathe in. For those who don't feel comfortable doing that, these companies exist. Now, one such company who I'm, you know, becoming aware of now is Tiny Diamond Homes. You can find them at www.tinydiamondhomes.com. That's diamond as in the thing in the ring on the finger, when, you know, the Beyoncé song. Yes, that one. So, tiny diamond homes. Back to what I was talking about. So, as the story goes, construction slowed down in Colorado where Steve and Cheryl Coates were living at the time. Now, they had a plan to assist in the rebuilding of the coast after Hurricane Ike hit, I think back in 2006 or 2007. So they bought a 26-foot recreational trailer for Steve and an assistant to live in. So he moved on down to Galveston, Texas. It took only one night for Steve to realize the potential shortcomings of such a dwelling. He went through, I think, a whole bottle of propane in one night trying to stay warm there. Now, fast forward to 2011 when the Coates saw their first tiny house trailer. I'm assuming it was on HGTV or DIY, or maybe just a blog, I'm not sure. But they were fascinated, and they admittedly became hooked. Fast forward another year to present day. The two have formed Tiny Diamond Homes to build a safe, structurally sound, energy-efficient tiny house trailers. In fact, they can build you almost anything, but they're specializing in tiny houses up to 30 foot long. Their tiny houses are built with steel framing using SIPs for integrity. Those are, of course, those are the panels. I'm trying to think who else we know using SIPs. I do believe it's Selena Dill, actually, is using SIPs. So anyway, the tiny houses that Tiny Diamond Homes puts out also feature tankless water heaters, full-size fridges, RV stoves, ovens, a choice of queen-size bed on the main floor or a king-size bed in the loft, and a sizable bathroom. Now, I wasn't able to find any interior pictures, but I'm sure that if you emailed them or contacted them for more information, they'd be happy to send you some of those. Now, on their website, prices range from about $20,000 for an unfinished tiny house trailer with rough plumbing and rough electric, measuring 18 foot long by 8 foot wide, to somewhere in the neighborhood of $63,000 for a 30 foot long, 8 foot wide trailer with all the fixings. Yes, sir. So, yeah, you might want to check them out. Now, I'm always interested in these companies and their price structures, and I love hearing about how they, you know, help someone make a dream come true or something. Would-be tiny house or whatever who either could not or would not or did not want to build for themselves. So definitely check them out, www.tinydiamondhomes.com. Now, for something totally different, I present to you Maximus Extreme Living Solutions. You can find them at MaximusExtreme.com. That's M-A-X-I-M-U-S. Extreme.com. Now, based out of Ogden, Utah, Maximus manufactures self-contained living units, which, kind of in lay terms, can best be described as eco-friendly tiny home trailers that are on massive amounts of steroids. Hey, you cannot make this stuff up. In fact, that last thing, massive amounts of steroids, that's from the mouth of Stu McInnes himself. Now, Stu's the owner of Maximus, and the tiny houses Stu and Maximus build are fit for an endless variety of applications, such as industrial mining, recreational, tailgating, FEMA, and even bug-out trailers, to name a few. The homes are pretty eco-friendly just by design. They have a zero footprint and can be run for extended periods of time in a completely self-contained mode, or they utilize conventional hookups. So far, I've seen photos of the red Model 4 and the yellow, quote-unquote, kind of man camp tiny house. And I gotta admit, Maximus may really be onto something here. I really liked the yellow model. It had some bunk beds set up in there, and I really thought the bunks in the yellow model were really cool and lent themselves to numerous applications. So again, that's MaximusExtreme.com, where you can find Maximus Extreme Living Solutions. And so now I want to, because this is around the blogosphere, my friends, I want to invite you all to something that I think is very cool, sponsored by RelaxShacks.com. I want to invite you to a Build a Tiny House workshop in Wilmington, North Carolina from April 26th through the 28th. advertised for all skill levels or no skill level. It's a hands-on tiny house building workshop with DIY network host, author, designer, builder, and blogger Deke Diedrichsen, who we have had the privilege of having on this show just a couple months back. So what are these workshops? Because you know what? I hear a lot about them. I know you hear a lot about them. We know Tumbleweed does some workshops. We know that, now Deke's doing some workshops, but he's done some workshops with Tumbleweed. So I'm not sure how exactly all that works out. But what I do know is that I'm on relaxshacks.com right now, and I am looking at this Build a Tiny House workshop. And, it's close to home for us. Of course, we're here in Middle Georgia, but eventually our home will be Eastern North Carolina, and Wilmington is just a hop, skip, and jump away. So pretty cool, in my opinion. This particular workshop, of course, April 26th through 28th, 2013, it's Tiny House Building Workshop number 4 for Deke, and it's a little bit special because it's going to be a team-up with Stephen Harrell of TinyHouseListings.com and TinyHouseSwoon.com. It's a 3-day hands-on workshop where really the kind of the ultimate thing is that the group will collectively build a tiny house before it's all over with. It's another workshop limited in size. It's going to be maxed out at 25 people. It's $399 for the 3-day event, so that's just a little over $100 a day, which includes some food, snacks, coffee, materials, workbooks, and more, as well as, of course, that hands-on interaction. Some of the guest speakers are going to be Kent Griswold of TinyHouseBlog.com, who's actually going to be making the trek over from the West Coast in California. Also be Alex Pino, who is of TinyHouseTalk.com. He's going to be discussing downsizing techniques. Laura Lavoie, tiny house dweller and builder, life in 120 square feet. Laura was also on the show not too long ago, so we're excited to hear her being part of that. And then, of course, Stephen Harrell, who is the co-host of the event, as well as the man behind Tiny House Swoon and Tiny House Listings. So that's going to be very cool. They're going to be announcing some more guest speakers soon, so you'll definitely want to be listening out for that. You're also going to want to head over to relaxshacks.com and go ahead and register for that event. There's going to be some campfire discussions at night. There's a pizza party, cocktail meet and greet / networking sort of hangout. There's some salvage construction demonstrations, some talks about how to save thousands of bucks while building your own tiny house. Tricks of the trade are going to be discussed, some tool safety and selection, some space efficiency conversations, and of course some giveaways. So that's really, that's very cool in my opinion. I think it's going to be really neat, actually. Now to sign up, you can email kidcedar, which is KIDCEDAR @gmail.com, or you can PayPal $399 directly to Cinercell @hotmail.com. That's SENORSELL @hotmail.com. So, that is all very cool. I am looking forward to the event. I'm trying to fit it on my calendar to attend the event, which I think will be very cool. I've never had the opportunity to go to a workshop like this. So it'll be interesting to, just to meet some of those folks and, to take part in building a little tiny house. So definitely you can keep up with us as well to find out more about that. So, hey, now is an excellent time for us to just pause for a minute and hear a bit from our sponsors of Tiny Revolution.
At Brockler Woodworking and Hardware, you'll find a selection of both the everyday and one-of-a-kind items that spell the difference between building something ordinary and building something extraordinary. Every home deserves at least one piece that will never end up on the driveway with a price tag on it. Rockler Woodworking and Hardware. Build something extraordinary. Visit www.rockler.com or call 1-877-ROCKLER for all of your woodworking needs. And don't forget, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Gulf Coast Supply and Manufacturing is premium metal roofing, and now we have one of our 3 statewide locations in your Alachua neighborhood.
In our showroom, we have the ability to not only show you what the product looks like, but to show you what it looks like on your home. We call it Proof My Roof.
Stop by our new showroom off Highway 441 in Alachua and speak to one of our metal roof specialists and bring us a picture of your home. We'll show you what your new metal roof will look like before you buy. Premium metal roofing, made here, made now, made to last.
Hi, I'm Mike Kruko. If you're thinking about building a house or if you're going to put up new siding, you need to think about LP Smart Side Trim and Siding. I built my home 20 years ago. I'm putting up new siding. Why? Because I had inferior product. If I'd have had LP Smart Side, I wouldn't be doing that. It comes with a 50-year warranty. I've got five kids. This is the ballpark. The old siding took a beating. The new stuff, you can't hurt it. And that, to me, means everything. So remember, LP Smart Side Trim and Siding. It's the beauty of wood made better.
This just in, my friends, just in, hot off the wire. If you are in driving distance of Giles County, Virginia, listen up. Our friend Sarah Myers has just completed her tiny house build, and she's holding an open house to share it with the world. This is going to take place on December 15th, 2012, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Newport Hardware, located at 108 Spruce Run Road in Newport, Virginia, 24128. If you have any questions, feel free to call 540-544-3000. Again, that's our friend Sarah Myers, and that date is December 15th, 2012. You can also look forward to the to a blog post on tinyrevolution.us where we'll give you more details, include some pictures of the house and some strategic information on just what Sarah put into building that house. So, if you're in driving distance of Giles County, Virginia, we'll see you there December 15th, 2012. Okay, so now one of my favorite parts of the show, for obvious self-serving reasons, of course, let's talk a little bit about where we are with Tiny Revolution, with our own build. Here we are, just kind of closing in on the end of the first week of December, which puts us at, let me see, we started on June, July, August, September, October, November, puts us at about month 7 of our build, of our consistent build, if you will. Of course, there's been some weeks here and there that we've had to lay off due to, you know, budget restraints and even weather a couple of times. So we're into month 7 here. Of course, the exterior is done. We do have one little job left on the exterior, and that's going to be happening in the next few days. We've gotten our aluminum flashing, and we've talked to a neighbor about borrowing his aluminum brake so that we can actually bend and mold our fender well interiors, which will go up, you know, over the tires underneath of our actual floor, so that when we're traveling down the road, we can protect that area. And also for rodent prevention and moisture prevention, that sort of thing, when we're actually parked and living in the tiny house. So we've still got that one little job, but, you know, that's not that big of a job. It really is just a matter of making those, you know, taking those measurements, making those bends, and then attaching with some self-tapping metal screws, attaching that to our wood subfloor area. So interior-wise, though, oh, you know what else? Exterior. We added two plugs. We added an electrical outlet right next to the front door, and we added one out the back. Now, the reason we added one out the back is because that's where our ClimateRight CR7000 is going to plug in so that it gets power. We want to keep all of our power controlled by one breaker box inside the tiny house. That way, if something goes wrong, we can very quickly isolate the problem and see if we've tripped a switch or something like that. You know, the plug in the front of the house, and I say the front. Now, remember, our door is on the long side of the trailer, not the short side. So when I say the front, I'm referring to the long side. The reason we added an electrical outlet there is kind of funny. As we were looking at it, I was thinking to myself, you know, it's kind of Christmas time and that sort of stuff, and folks are putting up lights, and and decorating and all that. And I got to thinking about the fact that maybe one day we would want to put up some lights or even a small Christmas tree out on the front porch or something like that. It's kind of inconvenient to have to run an extension cord from somewhere or even to go inside. You know, I've seen older homes that don't have plugs outside, so people will actually run extension cords in their window, so their window never shuts, which to me is a loss of, you know, heat and air and that sort of stuff. So that's kind of silly. So I thought, you know what, as long as we've got a plug on the inside, why don't we go ahead and cut a hole? We can jump right to this, to the inside outlet, you know, just daisy chain to it, and then have an outside outlet. That way, if we ever have anything we want to do out there, we have a plug. You know, plus it's a great place to put a radio or something like that, plug in the baby monitor or something. So that's why we added that electrical outlet in the front. And I'm glad we did. I'm glad, you know, that I thought about it before we had sealed everything up, because that would just be a nightmare to try and do after the fact. So I encourage you, if you haven't thought about putting any outdoor electrical outlets, do think about that. Because that's something you may want to consider for future use. Not necessarily right now, but definitely future use. So what else are we doing? So we're working on the interior. We still have to finish the ridge line with our wood, with the wood that we're using for the ceiling. We need to plane that wood down and install it. That's another 4 or 5 hour job right there. Then we need to seal all of that wood, which we're going to use a Minwax product. Now, I'm not entirely happy about having to use a Minwax product, and I welcome any recommendations that anyone has as far as a 100% toxic-free, eco-friendly product that we could use. We want to use a non-yellowing sealer, something that's not going to age our pine. We know that pine yellows just in the air alone, you know, over time, but we want to reduce that as much as possible, as well as to seal it so that, you know, anything within the house, whether it be, you know, from cooking or just moisture or anything like that, doesn't spoil the wood. So we need to do that. We need to build out our boxes, which are going to cover our ceiling beams. As you know, by the pictures, what we have right now are just 2x4s. In about 7 areas. So what we're going to do is we're going to build faux beams, which are basically just going to be boxes made out of, I guess probably we'll probably use 1x4s or something like that, to kind of encapsulate. Is that a word? Encapsulate? Encapsulate them. At which point we'll then be mounting the track lights on and that sort of stuff. We're also finishing up on the... We got a lot of stuff going right now, man. Jeez, we should just finish one thing and then move on. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you get started and you realize you need to do this before you can do this. And, you know, so it goes. So some of you may have seen pictures last week where we started working on the heat and AC system, running the duct work. Now, underneath of our platform in the middle of our trailer, we're actually going to be running some duct work so that we can maximize... the range of air control as well as temperature control. So we've got one that will blow air out and then one that will, the return unit, which will bring air in, measure the temperature, and adjust accordingly on our ClimateRight CR7000. So that's pretty exciting. You don't see a lot of tiny houses with ductwork, but we'll have some. You won't see it, of course. It'll be hidden, but we're using some. That's what I should say. So I'm very excited about that because I really didn't want to use a window unit air conditioner for any reason. We've had one in the past. We had one in the bungalow, and I just wasn't fond of it. I just felt like even though it had temperature control, you know, a thermostat and all that sort of stuff, I just felt like it never really worked well. I mean, if you stood right next to it, boy, you could freeze your pants off. But the further away you got from it, you know, the less effective it was. So I just kind of wanted to stay away from that altogether. So what else? The actual panel box itself. So we talked with an electrician last week. He came over to the house, gave us some great ideas, some things he would do, some things we needed to consider, and some products we needed to buy so that we can... make sure that we are able to connect to the grid when needed, but also have the ability to connect to like an RV outfit, you know, pedestal, I believe they call them in the state park world, an RV pedestal, which will be a locking system. So we'll have like a locking outlet, a locking plug. I don't know what they're called actually. I'm not too up with my terms in regards to, especially in regards to recreation vehicles. But so it's like a locking plug sort of thing. So when we get there, we'll be able to lock the plug into the outlet, into our panel box, our mini panel box, which this will all make sense with pictures. Trust me, all makes sense. Let me try and explain this. Main panel box with our main breakers will be accessible from the inside of Tiny House. We will have one large wire that runs from that to a smaller panel box, which will be accessible from the outside of Tiny House. That's where we will plug in the RV plug that will then connect into the power pole into an RV-sized outlet so that we can bring power into the Tiny House, convert it into our breaker system, and run electricity through the whole Tiny House. Does that make sense? I sure hope so. It didn't make much sense to me, but I know what it looks like, so it does kind of make sense to me. But, you know, long story short, that's where we're at. That's what we're doing. We've got a lot, you know, we've got a lot to do. Who doesn't have a lot to do? I've also been able to buy three more interior panels, so I need to prime those and get those up on the wall as we continue to make headway on this project. And so, yeah, a lot to do, not a lot of time to do it. Of course, with the holidays just around the corner, that minimizes time even more. But we're doing it, and we're loving it, and we're loving the results. So do stay tuned to both, well, not to both, to all, to our blog, to our Google Plus page, our Facebook page, Instagram, that sort of stuff. We're always posting pictures and just little updates. So do pay attention to those. I also want to point out to you that newly released on our website. If you go to the right-hand side below our sponsor ad boxes, there's a little thing that says subscribe by email. It's just a text link. If you click that, you can subscribe to our feed, which if you don't use an RSS reader, it will send you an email every time we release a new post. So you can stay up to date on our blog posts and that sort of thing. So do click that and add yourself to our subscriber list. Love to have you, love to keep you posted, that sort of thing. All right, I think that about wraps it up in terms of me catching you up on Tiny Revolution Build, as well as the other segments of our podcast. So I want to jump right into what has become a fan favorite, and that's our interview segment. So are you ready? All right, let's roll with it. In late 2011, sometime around, I don't know, probably Thanksgiving time or so, we were looking at talking about, you know, building our tiny house, and we were looking at pictures of other people and blog posts and that sort of stuff. And we kept seeing, you know, aluminum flashing being used as that layer between the trailer and the 2x4s. And so, you know, we weren't really sure at first just by the pictures, by the, what exactly they, you know, what exactly that flashing was for. But as we started to do research, we realized that, you know, they're used not just for being stationary, but also in travel. They keep moisture from getting underneath of your house. They act as a rodent barrier. They act as, you know, as an insulatory property, that sort of thing. And so, and they, you know, they protect the underside of your house, that flashing does. But we weren't sure if that's exactly what we wanted to do. We weren't sure if that was kind of the building standard or, you know, if that was something that was more akin to, you know, the lineage of RV to tiny house. And so we kept doing a little bit more research and, you know, thinking about, well, how are sticks and bricks houses made? You know, what goes underneath of them? And of course, you know, we knew of having that moisture barrier and even putting, you know, a little bit of leaching area underneath of a house. So we started thinking, okay, what product, if any product, could possibly do the same things for us without being that standard aluminum flashing? Because at the time, you know, we didn't know about the budget at the time. We were really still just kind of dreaming, putting down numbers that we were pulling out of thin air. But, you know, it looked like it was going to be rather expensive for our 30-foot by 8-foot trailer. And so we wanted to focus on, insulation. We wanted to focus on regular insulation, I just said insulation. I don't know. Anyway, we wanted to focus on insulation. We wanted to focus on moisture barrier, That sort of thing. We weren't so concerned with rodent barrier, but, you know, as time has progressed, we're thankful that we also looked into that a little as well. So what we came up with was, and I say we, it really was Crystal that found it. She was doing some research online, and she came up with this product called EcoFoil. And now, we had heard about foil barrier products before, but we weren't sure, you know, just how it all played in together. But we came up with this product, EcoFoil, and so we started doing a little research. And Crystal actually went through the process of contacting their customer service and talking to them about the product and what may be involved with the product and how it's supposed to help and this and that. And so by Christmas, we had pretty much decided that we were going to go with EcoFoil rather than aluminum flashing. It would answer our issues with moisture barrier. It would act as a rodent barrier because it does have steel mesh in it. It would also be a radiant barrier for us, which at the first, you know, at the outset, we weren't sure what exactly a radiant barrier did, but as we came to know more about radiant barriers, we felt, you know, just really solid about this product. And so, you know, as the new year came, I had been talking to some people online about, you know, I'm really interested in maybe some sponsorships and talking to people because, as I've said many times before, one of our motives with doing the blog and bringing on partners and that sort of stuff was to expose the tiny house community to some new and innovative products, some sustainable products, as well as expose some companies to a new kind of faction of home builders and home dwellers. And so, lo and behold, the only product we had really settled on was this EcoFoil. And so I thought, well, you know, let me just try and contact EcoFoil. Let me contact them, tell them what we're about, tell them what we're doing, and see if they're interested. So in mid-February of 2012, I sent out an email stating who we were and what we were doing and what we planned on doing and how their product excited us and how we felt like their product was going to serve our home and our family and how it would fit into the construction. And lo and behold, a few days later, I got an email in response, and they were really excited about the tiny house community and thought their product would be a good fit. So we kept going back and forth and back and forth through some emails and then finally settled on a product called the Double Bubble Radiant Barrier. And so as you've seen through our videos and some of our blog posts, we welcomed EcoFoil on as our first official sponsor of the Tiny Revolution. And so that was a really exciting time for us. It introduced us to a really cool product. I know of 4 tiny houses since then that have incorporated EcoFoil into their build. So it's just been great. And I'm always excited to work with a company that's so excited about the tiny house community. So that was very, very cool. So today on our show, our interview segment, I'm really excited to announce that our special guests are actually from EcoFoil. Today we're joined by Katie Davis and Brandy Borkman, who are both part of the sales and marketing team. Now, they actually are with ClickStop, which is the parent company, but today we're going to focus on their role with EcoFoil because that's what most interests us, and Katie really knows a lot about EcoFoil as well as Brandy, so I really want to pick their brain about this product and how it ties in and that sort of stuff. So, and Brandy's also focused on customer support, so she can help answer a lot of install questions that I come up with. And boy, do I have some install questions for them. So anyway, I want to tell you a little bit, though, real quick about EcoFoil. Now, EcoFoil is kind of an innovative approach to building insulation. I mean, it uses kind of the same technology that NASA uses to temperature control space shuttles. EcoFoil's radiant barrier and bubble insulation use the reflective qualities of foil stop radiant heat, which is really interesting. The reflective insulation is a really green, eco-friendly option that involves little manufacturing and promotes a lot cleaner air. In my opinion, EcoFoil is easy to install. It can be used for, from what I understand, it can be used for attic insulation, garage door insulation, metal building insulation, duct wrap, and a couple other applications that escape my mind right now. So, so you know what? Let's just bring on our guests. Let me quit blah, blah, blah. And you know what, guys? I think that's becoming my tagline. Blah, blah, blah. I seem to fit that in every single show. But enough of me, enough of my blah, blah, blah. Let's bring on Katie and Brandy. Ladies, are you there?
We're here.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly do appreciate having you here. Of course, we're with Katie and Brandy, both from Ecofoil. Now, I want to just briefly say, and when I mean brief, typically for me, gosh, I don't know, brief is never brief for me, but I'm going to try anyway. So back in 2011, somewhere around November or so, we were doing some research on products that we wanted to include in the build of our tiny house. And one of those products, of course, was something that was going to act as a vapor barrier, as a moisture barrier, as a radiant barrier, as a rodent barrier, all that sort of stuff. And what we kept seeing, of course, was the kind of aluminum flashing, the kind that comes rolled that you can buy at your local hardware store or whatever. But we just weren't sure that was what we wanted to do. And I was telling the audience about this earlier. And so, of course, we came upon Ecofoil, and then we contacted y'all sometime around early February. Not sure if y'all remember my incredibly witty emails that I sent out, but yeah, I appreciate that little laugh. I thank you very much for that. So we contacted y'all, and y'all came to, you know, y'all responded back very quickly and said, hey, you know, this sounds really cool. Tell us more about it, that sort of thing. So before we talk about how wonderful I am and how amazing our tiny house is, I do want to ask you about just Ecofoil in general. Now, we know that Ecofoil is a company under the main header of ClickStop, and we also know that one of the wonderful things about ClickStop is that they own a couple other companies, one of those being SpaceX. Savers, which we also are pleased to have as a sponsor. And that does remind me at this time, just for in the interest of disclaimer and for transparency, I just want to say that, yes, Ecofoil is a sponsor of the Tiny Revolution, and we are pleased to have them as such. So thank you, Ecofoil, for that. So back to ClickStop. So ClickStop has a couple of companies, and the one I find most fascinating, of course, is the Belly Button Bling Company, which I think, you know, no, you're not a real tiny houser unless you have belly button bling. I mean, that's just what it's all about. And yeah, you know, so I would challenge y'all to come up with a line of tiny house belly button jewelry should I decide to have a tiny house trailer dangling from my navel at any point in life. You know, just
something for
that. Yeah, totally.
We'll make it if you model it.
I will totally model it. Hey, if y'all are willing to lose your customer base, I'm willing to model it for you. No problem. So you know, all joking aside, because I really do love the product. I love it a lot. And, you know, and I'll talk about how we applied it and how it has kind of worked out for us in just a few minutes. But before we go on, I just want to ask, what is Ecofoil? Can you tell us just a little bit about Ecofoil?
Okay, sure. Ecofoil is a foil insulation that is focused on reflecting radiant heat. It's unlike your traditional insulation in that, you know, fiberglass or cellulose, they, while still valuable and can still be used with foil insulation, focus on slowing down the transfer of heat. So the foil actually works to redirect it back at the source. So depending on where you're at and, you know, if you have a hotter climate or a colder climate, it focuses on either keeping the heat in your house or stopping it from penetrating through the house.
Excellent. And so in the case of us, you know, being in the southeastern region, clearly Ecofoil being based in Iowa, y'all's temperature is much, much different from ours. In fact, I have a sister who lives in Iowa, and I'm going to be honest with you, never in my life has snot frozen in my nose the way it did when I went to Iowa.
Definitely does.
I had never experienced that before. I honestly thought I was going to die just by breathing. But in the Southeast region, we have a totally different temperature, which is why when we installed our product, and we'll talk about this in just a sec, the actual double bubble foil insulation, we placed the white side down to reflect the heat away from the bottom of the house. But I want to ask you this. Now, we use the double bubble foil insulation, which I just love saying over and over and over. Would you say that the bubble foil insulation is one of y'all's more popular products?
Yes, absolutely.
And I would assume that it's probably so because it specializes in really keeping the heat out in the summer and keeping the heat inside in the winter, no matter what region you're living in.
Right, right. And it's more for, it has quite a few options as far as applications. The bubble application can be used for multiple buildings, walls, your home. The other product we have is the perforated radiant barrier, which is primarily for attics. So the bubble insulation would be have more options for you.
Now, I do just want to say I'm glad you mentioned the radiant barrier, the perforated radiant barrier, because we actually have that product involved in our build, too. We used the radiant barrier just in between actually our sheathing and our metal roof, because we knew that with a metal roof in the southeast, we were going to be bringing on a lot of heat. We were going to act essentially as, I don't know, a Rachel Ray saute pan or something. So we really wanted to, you know, work on moving that heat away from the house. And so we employed radiant barrier perforated so that it would kind of block the transfer of that heat rather than absorbing it. So we actually have two products. And if I was to be specific, I would say three, because we also used the white tape to keep our double bubble together. We didn't use duct tape. No, 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 no. We used white foil tape. Thank you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And that's better for, actually, it's made for more of the extreme temperatures where, you know, we have a lot of people around our office that will use it just as duct tape because, you know, if you're duct taping something outside, it'll usually stand up a little bit better.
Right. And the duct tape is porous, so it doesn't work as a vapor barrier. So using the white foil tape that you used is crucial and critical as far as getting the vapor barrier that you need.
I did not know that. I am glad to know that. I really thought that it was just so that my seams of the white product with the white product would be more attractive. But now I know it serves a purpose. So that's pretty awesome, actually. I do want to talk about this. I've read on the website before in doing some research that the product that y'all carry was used in some NASA development. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. You know, they could probably give you a little bit more detail at NASA specifically about it, but it's actually been in every space shuttle because it can help control the temperature inside. You know, that's, you know, one thing that, you know, mass isn't going to protect someone when they're in, you know, 400 degrees or whatever, you know, temperatures they're going through. Same with the military. They have used it to help hide body heat from, you know, radiant heat cameras to try to identify people. So there's just a lot of uses, and this is a natural resource that we have that has a lot of advantages, and insulation is just one of them.
That is awesome. I just had a really cool thought. Well, it's not cool. I just want to announce this is going to be my last show, because when I speak this next sentence, I'm probably going to be censored by the government or something. I just had this thought. I could wrap myself in radiant barrier and, like, you know, penetrate prisons and airports and things like that. They would never see my big self walking through the airport if I'm wearing radiant barrier.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to endorse that, but you know what? You feel free.
And you know what? I could keep my own sweat down if I used the white insulation tape, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one other cool thing that, you know, we hear that it can be used for is if firefighters are in a, you know, a blazing fire and they kind of just need to hunker down for a little while it burns through, they'll actually pull it over themselves. You know, as long as the flames aren't touching them,
because
that's a different kind of heat. But if they, you know, kind of bury a little, or they dig a little hole and pull it over the top of them, it'll actually help keep their temperature down so they don't burn to death. So,
that's awesome. Because, well, and I would imagine that's because the Ecofoil product passed the Class 1, Class A flame retardant test. And I had to look this up, what the identifier is, but ASTM E84-2009 test. So it is a flame retardant product, totally, which is very cool because, you know, it's one thing to introduce products to a community or introduce products to what could potentially be consumers. It's another thing to introduce a product that absolutely turns the market around, which brings something new to the market that's not there. I mean, we're not kidding ourselves. There are other, you know, foil type products, foil insulation products on the market. There are others out there at the big box stores and things like that. But none of them seem to carry the same sustainability quality. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to y'all about too. I know that on the website it says that it costs very little to manufacture. And I also know that just from personal experience, y'all are very cautious about how you ship too. You don't ship out a lot of extraneous packaging and things like that. In fact, when I got the double bubble in by, I think it was UPS, might have been FedEx, but whatever it was, there wasn't a lot of frivolous. It was no Amazon.com package. Let's be frank about that. I mean, it came bare bones packaged. You know, it was safe, but it didn't come with a lot of frivolous packaging. So if I could ask, what is kind of, you know, what are the thoughts on sustainability around the EcoFoil warehouse?
You know, there's a few different approaches you can take. Like you mentioned, you know, when it comes to the manufacturing process, it's not actually as involved as some other insulation options that are out there. So that makes it green just in and of itself and, you know, the emissions that it causes. One of the things that, you know, we think is a real advantage is that it doesn't harm the air. You know, you don't need protective gloves to install it. You don't need a mask so you don't breathe in particles. It's not going to get moldy over time. So when it comes to being green, it, you know, ideally should be able to hold up to some of those extremes and, you know, not pollute the air that you're breathing.
Yeah, and let me just highlight that because that's very important to the tiny house community that I've witnessed. You know, there's a big concern about sustainable living. There's a big concern about eco-friendly building practices, but also about the health and welfare of yourself and whoever else is living in the home with you. EcoFoil Radiant Barrier does not promote the growth of mold or fungi, which is very important to me, simply because when you're talking about a tiny house trailer and you've got the elements actually underneath of your house, there is the possibility, especially with standing water and things like that, that mold spores could begin to foster. And so, you know, using a radiant barrier product like EcoFoil, it doesn't promote the growth of mold or fungi. So I definitely want to point that out because that is really, really important to me. But look, I want to move back to real quick. I want to move back to when Tiny Revolution first approached y'all. What, you know, besides taking, you know, my goofy picture and hanging it up on the company dartboard or something, what was kind of y'all's thought around the office about this tiny house trend and where EcoFoil could fit into that?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, a tiny house, you know, the whole revolution itself is, you know, not traditional. It's more of a grassroots approach. And, you know, I look at the community and I see people who really think through what's best for not only themselves, but for our environment and, you know, the type of culture that we're building. And I think that that's just really eye-opening, and when it comes to insulation, it just seems to be a good fit because this is something that, you know, the insulation industry has been dominated by fiberglass, you know, because there are lots of lobbyists and lots of money that's involved with it, and so, you know, along with that, I think asking the right questions as to whether or not the product is actually the best one that's out there just seems to be something that I see the community wondering, and I think that's why it tends to appeal to people who are just trying to look at all aspects of the different options that are out there. You know, we were really happy to be able to sponsor your actual build because there's a real advantage to kind of a grassroots approach to this type of thing. You know, if we can get people to talk about their experience and, you know, share what they've been using it for in their own words, that's a lot more valuable to us than doing, say, a TV commercial or, you know, whatever it may be, any kind of other advertising. You know, when it comes to people searching online, you know, we hope that they find your blog post and get a real perspective of what it was like and why you chose to go with that product.
Absolutely. Well, I do, you know, talking about commercials, I do just want to volunteer my services. If y'all want to run a commercial with with a guy wrapped in radiant barrier running through an airport, I'll be happy to do it. Just let me know when and where. I'll be happy to work for just a box of Ecofoil t-shirts. That would be fine with me. Just the privilege of getting to run like a madman through the airport would be payment enough. But no, seriously, you know, what you say is really important to me, because, you know, obviously we're advocates of the tiny house community and talking about grassroots and that sort of thing. But you're absolutely right. The tiny house community does just that. I think we spend a lot more time really considering how a product is going to enhance or detract from our lifestyle. One of the things I like about Ecofoil, besides obviously the fact that it's a great radiant barrier, is the space that it takes up, which is virtually next to nothing. I think honestly, when I measured, it came in just a hint above a half inch, and that was at the top of the bubble. So that would be the widest it was. But the other thing is the installation of it. The installation was incredibly simple. For those who haven't watched our YouTube video, essentially what we did, we ordered the 500 square foot roll. And what we did was we laid it out on the grass. We stopped at 32 feet, and then we wanted to go 10 feet wide. That was giving us 2 feet on each side, because we wanted to take a foot on each side of our trailer and wrap it so that when we put down our floor joists, they would hold that wrapping very tight and keep the Ecofoil underneath of the house very, very tight, or as tight as possible. So we ended up having to use three runs of the product, three runs of the double bubble, and then we used the white tape to tape the seams together. And then the next step is probably the hardest step of building the tiny house that I've encountered yet. We laid the product like a blanket on a bed, laid it right down over the trailer. And that was it, man. I'm telling you, that was pretty much it. Yeah. Then we just put the floor joist down. We wrapped it, like I said, and we just took our stapler and bam, 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 ran down the line, and that was it. I think, honestly, it took me longer to make the how-to video than anything else. So for y'all, is that a question you hear a lot? You know, can I install this myself? Do I need to get an installer? How does that work out?
Most people already have their contractors, or if they do call, they are a contractor. I don't think people realize how easy it is and how easy it is to do themselves. So when we do get an occasional homeowner that calls in, they're amazed that they don't have to spend the hundreds of dollars to hire someone to come install it. So if more people did know how easy it was, I think they'd be pleasantly surprised with how much money they could save by doing it themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point. I want to point out, you can find Ecofoil online at www.ecofoil.com. And there's a specific page if you want to, if you want to navigate to it on their nav bar. If you go to learn about foil, and then you take your cursor down to DIY attic foil installation, there's a great page. If you're just looking to type in the address, it's ecofoil.com/ecofoil-diy-guide. And what it is it's a page that basically says, hey, this is how you do it yourself. This is how you take the radiant barrier or, you know, that sort of thing. And this is how you install it. And then it has a list of other DIY radiant barrier projects, which, you know, it doesn't get any simpler than that. And I'm just here to say, for whatever it's worth, for whoever cares to hear my blah, 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 it really is easy. Both applications for us were easy. Not just the double bubble, but also the perforated that we put underneath of the roof. I mean, the perforated was nothing more than just rolling it out on the roof deck and stapling it down. That was it. There was nothing else to do. Wasn't a lot of, you know, like when you're wrapping a water heater with you know, fiberglass insulation or something like that. You have to get suited up, and then you have to wrap it around and have someone hold it while you throw some tape around it. And, you know, then it's just, it gets messy and it gets nasty, and nobody likes to, you know, have, that material all over their arms and in their lungs and stuff. It's like smoking a rowboat or something. It's horrible. So I want to talk about, since you just kind of talked about joining up with Tiny Revolution, what kind of feedback or what kind of interest have you seen from the tiny house community?
Oh,
well, you know, I think we've seen, there was some success, I think, with the giveaway that you did recently. We saw, you know, Casey has just gotten started on installing the product that she won from that. And so it's good to see, you know, that she's really taking it and running with it and finding it very useful. We also recently decided to sponsor Petite Mason, is that how you say it, Mason? She is going to be building her own tiny house, which looks like it's going to be probably about half the size of yours. And so we're going to be sending her some Double Bubble as well.
That's awesome. So it's really, you know, it's very rare that we see a company that's willing to extend such generosity to the tiny house community or to any building community, really, because typically it boils down to, you know, profit stream and revenue and that sort of thing. But I think what y'all are doing is you're putting your product where your mouth is. You're saying, hey, this is not just a good product, but we believe in it so much that we're willing to give it to you to use for your particular product. And I think that's great. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to have to start fielding more and more tiny house and small house questions because, you know, one of the things that's interesting is the size that you sell the product in. You know, there's nothing worse than having to buy a lot of extra stuff that you don't need and then you can't get rid of. For instance, when you buy house wrap, you know, oh my gosh, I have like half a roll of house wrap left and I have like the biggest tiny house, I think, going right now. So, you know, that's a lot of money wasted and it's a lot of material. So the products that y'all have, you know, they come in very sensible sizes. In fact, what are the sizes that the listeners could purchase the Double Bubble right now if they wanted to?
They, off the top of my head, I believe we have I know we have a 750 square foot roll. We have a 500 square foot roll, and I believe the smallest roll we have is 300 square feet.
Excellent.
And so, they're 4 feet wide is the smallest, and then 6 feet wide is the longest, and the widest. And then the smallest is also 75 feet. So the smallest would be 4 feet by 75 feet, and the largest would be 6 foot by 250 feet.
Yeah, which is perfect 4 foot because, you know, a tiny house trailer typically is 8 foot wide. So 4 foot is just 2 runs of it, done deal. So, you know, purchasing one, you know, roll of the 300 square foot gets the whole job done. You don't have to have a lot of extra product. You're not looking at all this waste left over. So it's solid. And then you can use the rest to run through the airport. I mean, it's fantastic stuff. I want to talk just for a second. I'm always fascinated about this too. First of all, it says at the top of your website, you know, there's the little sign that says North American products are... All of the EcoFoil products are made in America, is that right?
Yes. The product is it's from the United States, here in the United States, and then it's manufactured in Canada. And then it's shipped back down here to Iowa, and our warehouse is right here in Iowa. And everything for you or any customer is shipped right out of Iowa direct to you.
That's awesome. Which cuts down on shipping expenses too, because it's not it's not having to take a freight liner from, you know, an Asian country and then come across the ocean and then be flown here and then driven there and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, the warehouse in, I don't know how to pronounce it, Urbana, is that right? Urbana, Iowa?
Perfect, so, yes.
Thank you. So the warehouse in Urbana, Iowa is where we get our product from, this leads into some social media kind of stuff, because when I was first Googling EcoFoil to find out about them, I came across a series of most entertaining videos of what it's like to work around the EcoFoil complex. And if I'm not mistaken, the one video that interested me the most would have been, maybe it was the cornhole tournament, I think. is that correct? Am I right about the cornhole tournament?
Yeah, there was a very contentious tournament about a month or so ago. You're right. Yeah, we have a little fun around here.
Yeah, and you people are competitive out there. You Nebraska, Iowa people are competitive out there for real.
Yeah, Katie's Nebraska, I'm Iowa, so we don't talk very often.
Yeah, I can imagine during college football season, you don't even look at each other. It's just like this this horrible little thing. So, well, then this is a special occasion. I've gotten the two of you to, I'm like Switzerland, for goodness sakes. I've gotten you two to sit down at the table and interact. Yeah, that's fantastic. So, Katie, I know that you work quite a bit with social media. Y'all, EcoFoil is on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and YouTube. And did I miss anything? Google Plus. I mean, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. And so this is what I've always wanted to ask a company, to be perfectly honest. Is that kind of how much, you know, and I don't even know how to phrase this. Listen to me like bumbling my words. What is, to y'all, what does it mean when folks like us, you know, write a blog post or we put something on Facebook and we tag EcoFoil or, you know, we're willing to share a status update or something like that. How much does that mean to a company like EcoFoil? I mean, you were talking earlier about grassroots. Is that just something that, you know, just makes y'all's eyes get big and you get all excited about and host a cornhole tournament?
We can have a whole tiny house cornhole tournament. You know, when it comes to our own accounts, you know, our own Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and everything, you know, it's one thing to get the followers. You know, we love having followers there, and you know, it's our soundboard. But it means a whole heck of a lot more to have individuals who are familiar with the product outside of, you know, our company walls talk about it and give a real life experience. You know, that, you know, you really can't beat that coming directly from us. It's much better to have it in, you know, other people's words more so than ours.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think is great about the tiny house community, and I hope that you've been able to see this so far, is that it's a bunch of people that when they agree with a company's practices or they agree with a product or something like that, they invest in it. They're willing to put their name on the line for it and say, we're using this, we're embracing this, this is a great thing, it's a great company, and especially talk a lot about customer service. You know, these folks are easy to work with. They answer all my questions when I ask, that sort of thing. So, you know, I hope that you've been able to see some of that involvement from the tiny house community. And I hope that it's bringing awareness to the company and to y'all's products and that sort of thing. I think our time is we're doing well on time. The wonderful thing about being the host of the show is I could make it as long or as short as I absolutely wanted to, but, you know, in the interest of y'all's time, because y'all are part of, you know, the corporate structure and you have to like punch in and punch out and all that stuff. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but, you know, I do want to ask, are there any projections for where EcoFoil goes from here? I mean, could you see yourself positioning EcoFoil to be kind of the industry standard for the tiny house community?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's something that would obviously make us happy. You know, like you mentioned, we're owned by QuickStop, which has a variety of different brands, and our goal is really just to create a company that we all love to work at that is financially sound, and so far we've been able to really have some good growth over the last few years, and so, you know, EcoFoil is a huge part of that where you know, we hope to see it just continue to grow and become more mainstream over time.
Absolutely. Now, is EcoFoil available at any retail outlets, or is it just available online right now?
It's just online right now. We have had several Lowe's stores contact us, but I believe that's just as a customer request.
Mm-hmm.
So the customer comes in and asks for it, and then they order it through Lowe's, again, the customer can just as easily order it directly.
Right. So, well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I wrote a blog post about this, and because it kind of upset me. So I went to the big orange box the other day, maybe 2 weeks ago or so, and we were looking for a couple of specific products that were advertised online, and then underneath of the product it said, available at your local store. And I know the computer knew my local store because they asked me to put in my zip code. So I'd already told them where I lived. And so they were able to confirm with me that my local store had this product. When I get there, I get this song and dance, not a literal song and dance because the guy was really quite old, But I got this song and dance from the attendant there, who told me that these box stores are actually cutting their in-store inventory, sometimes by as much as 40%, because online ordering is so much more popular right now. And, you know, my honest feeling about that is because more companies are investing more money in customer service right now than for online ordering than they are in their stores. So you're actually getting more good advice and good information when you talk to someone online than when you are actually in the store looking for a product. So I said all that simply to say it doesn't matter if Ecofoil's in a store or not. Ordering online is as informative, it's as quick, it's as safe, and it's as efficient as any other way of purchasing a product. I can speak from personal experience. I think when we finally agreed on the double bubble, it took y'all a whole whopping 48 hours to get me the product. I mean, it was like unbelievable. It was like I just hung up the phone and it was in my driveway. So I can definitely speak to that. And I know on behalf of the Tiny House community, if it's any indication from the other tiny housers, I think it's very easy to say that we can see Ecofoil kind of poising itself in a very important position for future builds and future tiny housers. Katie, you mentioned just a few minutes ago ClickStop having a couple other companies. If you don't mind for, you know, just a minute or two, I would like to talk about Space Savers for just a minute or two. And what I want to talk about just is how Space Savers could actually, you know, there's a lot of emphasis put on the external or the exterior build of a tiny house because clearly the exterior is what matters, you know, the integrity, the strength of the house. But Space Savers is really a company that comes in when it's time to talk about the interior, when it's time to talk about space saving and, you know, being efficient with your furnishings and your extra, what I like to call the extracurriculars, you know, things most people take for granted, like closets, things like that. So can you tell me just a minute about Space Savers and how that could be a company that some tiny housers could look into as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's kind of funny that obviously you contacted us for Ecofoil, but when it comes to Space Savers, you know, that's, you know, it's in the name. It's a storage and organization site, which isn't obviously focused just on tiny houses. It's, you know, for any office or, you know, home that people can use these different products. But, you know, there's several different storage and organization products. Like, I know we had provided you with the roll-away trash can so that, you know, you don't have to have a trash can sitting out. It can actually slide under a cabinet. We have a whole bunch of different options for those sorts of things for your kitchen. You know, it can also come into play with any sort of clothes storage, like underbed. If you need underbed storage, you know, one more place that you can put things. You know, we have a lot of containers that are good for that sort of thing. There's a lot of plastic products, which I know, you know, not everyone is going to be a big proponent of the plastic, but it is something that, you know, for long-term storage, those are some great products that are out there.
Yeah, you know, the thing about plastic storage is you really have, it's one of those things where you have to weigh the option. I mean, yes, you know, probably more was involved for the manufacturing of them and that sort of stuff, but when you're talking about something that's weatherproof or that's airtight or that's going to keep your items in a good state for a long amount of time, sometimes you have to weigh your options. You know, you could get a cheaper product and have to buy it, you know, two and three and four times, you know, replace it every year, whereas you could just make a little bit more of an investment using a plastic type of product that may last you for, you know, indefinitely, so to speak.
We also have it's called a stowaway. It's a cabinet which stores an ironing board and the iron and several different things, laundry related, and it actually mounts up on your wall and keeps it out of the way. That way you don't have to have an entire closet for all of those things.
Well, that's awesome. I have not even thought about that. I literally haven't ironed anything in probably two or three years. So, which that could be a reflection on me and not necessarily a statement on anything else, but I should probably ask Crystal about that, whether or not we need to have an ironing board, because I haven't thought about that. Go figure.
And you had mentioned the closets earlier. We have some do-it-yourself closet organization unit that you can completely reorganize your closet however you like it, with shelving. There's some fabulous new boot racks that just came in.
Saw that. We posted it on our Facebook page. That's like, that's serious business, because there are some people in the tiny house and small house world that do have some mild shoe collections and boot collections. and you know, I have a couple pair of work boots myself. So, you know, that's something you might have to, I might have to think about. But yeah, I posted that product up and we got a lot of good response from it because folks really liked the idea of that. I don't think I've ever even seen something like that before.
Yeah, it's a huge hit. We've sold quite a few of those already. We only had them for, I believe, within 2 weeks, we had sold over 20 of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's... Nice. Actually, I wonder if that's awesome. That means some people have some major boot collections. Maybe I need to talk about downsizing with these folks. Who knows? Huh.
Right, or maybe we can get into boots. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, there you have it. Boots and bling. I think that should be my new company. I could sell belly button rings and boots. Boots and bling.
There you go.
Perfect. Well, guys, I just want to thank y'all so much for joining us today. I know that I did a lot of talking, but I got to be honest. I did it because I really enjoy Ecofoil, and I wouldn't talk about it if I didn't like it. And it was easy for us to do. And it was easy for us to use, and it's still holding up as tight as it was the day that we installed it. And it's been going on 8 months that we installed it. So it's a quality product that I can attest to. You know, we'll be keeping up with y'all, letting y'all know how the product stands up over the course of the next couple of years. I look forward to awesome things from Ecofoil. You know, I hope more tiny housers contact y'all, even if just to have a conversation about other products and how it may work for their applications. So, I just want to thank y'all, Katie and Brandy, for joining us today. Thank you so much.
The opportunity to get on our soapbox a little bit and tell you about these products. And we're glad that you've had some success with it, too. So thanks for that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I ever host a tiny house cornhole tournament, I'll be sure to give y'all a holler. All right. So thank you so much, Katie and Brandy, for joining us today on our interview segment. We do appreciate it. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking it's time to close this show down, man. We've had another good one today, got some good, useful information, had a great interview, talked to some cool folks. Just want to let you know, if you're interested in finding out more about Ecofoil, you can visit them online, www.ecofoil.com. Also wanted to remind you that everything, including all the links mentioned in today's episode, will be featured on the featured there on the blog post for that corresponds with this episode. And yeah, I guess we got some exciting things coming up next week. I know I've got a guest lined up. I'm not going to tell you who yet, but I'm excited about that. So we'll have another show next week. And then I think that's going to be our last one, maybe, until after New Year's. But I'm not sure. Need to check the calendar. I don't have it in front of me. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Revo Convo. We look forward to having you join us next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, and all that jazz. So again, this is your host, Andrew Odom, for the Revo Convo, signing out with my brand new tag phrase, blah, blah, blah.